Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Practical Parsha podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn. No, you don't have to send out the army. No, you don't have to call the Coast Guard. I'm okay. It's been a busy few weeks. Chag Sameach to you as well. I'm coming to you live from Chol HaMoed Sukkos for the intermediate days of Sukkos. And the last few weeks have been us going through the holidays, with the holidays coming out on Thursday, Friday, going straight into Shabbos, and Yom Kippur being on Shabbos. So it was a little challenging to get out episodes, but I didn't want to leave you hanging because starting tomorrow night is Shmini Atzeres, which is the second part of the holiday of Sukkos, which goes into, on Thursday night, Friday, Simchas Torah, where we celebrate the completion of the Torah, which follows with Shabbos Bereishis, which marks the beginning of starting the Torah again. So I was a little bit at an impasse of what I should do this week. You know, I can't just not do an episode. It's been so long since I've gotten behind the Practical Parsha podcast mic. And I'm sure you guys are wondering, and just as much as you enjoy listening, I also enjoy giving this year to you. So I was thinking what I should do, because we have Vizosa Bracha, which is Simchas Torah, followed right by Bereishis, which goes right into Shabbos, so there's no time to do a separate episode. So after discussing this problem with the Practical Parsha podcast board, we came to a decision that we would do one podcast, and the podcast would have an idea from Vizosa Bracha, an idea from Parshas Bereishis, and one idea in the middle to connect the last Parsha of the Torah to the beginning. So I hope you enjoy. If you don't like this idea and you want to, you know, disagree with the board, feel free to send me an email at Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. And again, I'm so happy to be doing this podcast with you. I hope you enjoy. Thank God we have merited to complete the Torah again. And I look forward to another great year, God willing, of sharing Torah ideas with you. So, as always, feel free to send me your thoughts. Introduce yourself, RabbiShlomoKohn @gmail.com. So, we begin today with Parshas Vizosa Bracha. And Vizosa Bracha is really the culmination of the book of Deuteronomy, where Moshe Rabbeinu is sort of giving his last will and testament to the Jewish people. And Vizosa Bracha, more specifically, is on the last day of Moshe's life. And he continues the custom of our forefathers, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, that before he's going to pass on, he's going to give a blessing to each one of the tribes of Israel. And Vizosa Bracha really brings out for us the specific blessings that Moshe Rabbeinu gives to each one of the tribes of Israel. Now, the idea I want to take you to from Vizosa Bracha that we're going to share today takes us to the verse in Vizosa Bracha, which is Moshe Rabbeinu giving a praise to the entire Jewish nation. The pasuk reads as follows: Ashrecha Yisrael, Micha Moicha Am Noisha Ba'Hashem, Mogin Ezrecha Va'Asher Cherev Gavosecha, Va'Yikochashu Oivecha Loch Va'Ata Abba Moseimoi Sidrich. Fortunate you are you, O Israel. Who is like you, O people delivered by Hashem, the shield of your help, who is the sword of your grandeur? Your foes will try to deceive you, but you will trample their haughty ones. Now, the Chafetz Chaim brings down in his commentary to the Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu, in this line in Vizosa Bracha, what he's telling the Jewish nation, Ashrecha Yisrael, how fortunate are you? Who is like you? There is only one nation in the world that's like this, and that's you. And the Chafetz Chaim brings down a mashal, a parable, that helps us understand what Moshe Rabbeinu is trying to do. And God willing, could help us in our daily lives strengthen ourselves in our service of Hashem. He says as follows, when two armies are fighting with each other, morale is always the winning potion or the winning mixture that really can help an army go the extra mile to get to victory. It's so important when it comes to the battlefield, the morale of the troops, their spirit. And actually, in fact, I recently saw a very fascinating article about, you know, the IDF troops, the Israeli troops, and a lot of different halachic questions that come up and how morale factors into halachic decisions, you know. And obviously, there was a rabbi there who was giving a little interview, but the point is that morale and spirit and this positive feeling really goes so far when it comes to the battlefield. And the Chafetz Chaim says is that when two armies are facing off against each other, so at a certain point in the battle, when things calm for a moment, the commander of one of the armies gets up and tries to infuse his troops with strength and determination and perseverance. And he gives a pep talk, right? This is something which is common, right, throughout the history of warfare, I'm sure, that commanders are trying to inspire their troops to give everything they have for their country. And Chafetz Chaim says, it says sometimes the commander gets up and tells the troops about the crown, the nation that they're trying to protect. He raises the flag. He raises the flag of their nation, or, you know, in older times, the crown, the seal of the crown, that the troops should see that. They should see that, you know, the seal of their nation, and it should hopefully give them the inspiration and the power to push on to victory. You know, you think of iconic American pictures of troops in battlefield. You think of the troops at Iwo Jima raising the flag up. You know, such an inspirational picture that gave people around the world, especially in the United States, a certain strength and the spirit that they were going to win the war, even though it was a very challenging moment. And the Chafetz Chaim tells us that the commander, he tries to inspire the troops by telling them and showing them possibly even the seal of their nation, the crown, to tell them who they're fighting for, to know that they're fighting for their king, for their country, and the glory and all the values and principles that it represents. And when the soldiers hear about this, it hopefully gives them that extra dose of enthusiasm, the extra dose of spirit, the extra dose of power to be able to vanquish the enemy and to win the war. And the Chafetz Chaim tells us is that, you know, this technique that soldiers do, it's not exclusive to one side of the battlefield. The other side could do this as well, right? The other side of the other army, they also think they're going to win, and they also tell their soldiers about the grandeur of their nation and the seal of the king and what they're fighting for and who they're, you know, and all the important things. And it's really not clear who's going to win the battle. We see from Moshe Rabbeinu, from Moses, in this last will and testament that he's giving to the Jewish nation, after blessing the tribes, he tells the Jewish nation, Ashrecha Yisrael, praiseworthy are you, the Jewish people. Mi kamoicha, amnoisha ba'ashem, mogin ezrecha, v'asher cherev gavosecha, v'yikachashu oivecha loch, v'ata abu m'seinu sidrech. Says, fortunate you are you, O Israel. Who is like you? He's giving them the strength and the fortitude to push on. And I think the message that the Chafetz Chaim is telling us that we take from this pasuk, that he takes from this verse in the Torah, I've talked many times on this podcast about the ups and downs, the challenges that we face when it comes to serving Hashem. We know in life's not like it's not a breeze. There are ups and downs. There are challenges. Sometimes there are very hard challenges. And I'm not trying to make it you know, gloom and doom. God forbid, life is amazing. There's so much blessing in our life. There's so much good in our life. But it's not all just easy street. Sometimes there are, you know, things we're trying to do, good things. We want to do what Hashem wants. We're trying to do the will of God. But there are things that are holding us back. There are obstacles in our path. We seem that we're maybe not making progress in places that we want to make progress. We're trying to accomplish good things. We want people to do good things. We encourage others to do good things. But it seems like it's not working. It's not going anywhere. We're trying to grow in our avodas Hashem, but we seem stalled. And the answer to that is that we have to tell ourselves this verse. Ashrecha Yisrael. We have to be like that commander in the army who riles his troops up and tells them, who are you fighting for? Who are you representing? What are you striving for? And the answer for us as Jews is that we're fighting for Hashem. We're in the army of God. And our life here is to win that battle against the Yetzer Hara, against the forces that are trying to stop us, to make sure that God's name is sanctified in this world. And that can manifest itself in different ways. It can manifest itself by us doing the mitzvos, by us learning Torah, by us representing the Jewish people in a positive way. And the difference is, by those armies, with the soldiers, it's not clear who's going to win. But for us, we're representing the King of Kings, and we're trying to do what he wants. God could do anything, and we're trying to do his will. We have to know that in the end, we're going to be victorious. We just have to keep pushing. We have to keep pushing. You can't give up. And I think it's something we should tell ourselves in those hard moments. You know, we can get into a different discussion at a different time. Why is it hard for us? Why is it challenging? That's a great question. But the point is that this is how it's supposed to be. That there are speed bumps in life, and our job is to overcome them. And we have to think when we're doing this, when we face an obstacle, who are we doing this for? Whose crown are we trying to raise up? Whose flag are we trying to represent? Whose principles? Whose ideals? And I think when we think about it, it's the King of Kings, it's Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It helps give us an extra infusion of spirit to be able to finish the job and to power forward. So, that's one idea for the last parsha of the Torah. I want to segue now to connect the last parsha of the Torah to Bereishis, to the beginning part of the Torah. And then I'll finish off with idea from Bereishis. So we know in Vezos HaBracha, and the last few verses of the Torah finish off with the quality of Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy, that there will be no one like him ever again. And it finishes as follows. V'leikam navi oid b'Yisrael k'moisha asher yadu Hashem ponim aponim. Never again has there arisen in Israel a prophet like Moshe, whom Hashem had known face to face. L'chol ha'oisis v'amoifsim asher sholchu Hashem la'asois b'eretz Mitzrayim l'faro l'chol avodo v'l'chol artzo. And as evidenced by all the signs and wonders that Hashem sent him to perform, in the land of Egypt against Paro and all his courtiers and all his land. Ulechol hayad achazako, lechol amoira agod la'ashir osa, Moshe le'enei kol Yisrael. And by all the strong hand and awesome power that Moshe performed before the eyes of all of Israel. Now, it's interesting, Rashi tells us that the last verse of the Torah is referring to the luchos, the tablets that Moshe Rabbeinu broke when he came down. He saw the Jewish people sinning by the golden calf. He smashed the tablets. And that's what it's referring to. And there's a lot of discussion about what is the significance of that. Why is the Torah talking about that? What I want to focus in on is the last letter of the Torah. Starts off, Le'enei kol Yisrael, a lamed. The last letter of the Torah is a lamed. And now if we turn all the way back, you hear me, you know, moving the pages over here, go all the way back to Bereishis, to the beginning, which we do right away on Simchas Torah. We finish the Torah on Simchas Torah, and we right away begin again from Bereishis. And then obviously the next day, which will be Shabbos, we'll read the whole entire Torah. But on Simchas Torah itself, we begin the Torah anew. What's the first word of the Torah? Bereshis starts with a base. Now, what's the word, if you take lamed and base, put it together, what is that? That's lev. Lev is heart. Now, what's the significance of that? What's the significance of the last letter of the Torah and the first letter of the Torah spelling the word lev? So as I mentioned before, we start reading the Torah anew as soon as we finish it. We finish the Torah, and boom, right away we start it again. And the idea here is that when it comes to Torah, we're not finishing the Torah. It's that we never end. It's a cycle that never ends. And that's the beauty of studying Torah, that it's not just something which you go through and you study once and you finish it and you're done. It's something which you go again and go again, and you get deeper and a deeper understanding and a deeper understanding. And it's something which goes on for forever. And I saw that Rabbi Twersky brings down is that just, you know, like there's different parts of our lives. We have this spiritual pursuits and physical pursuits and all different areas. We work, our personal lives, our careers. So he says the Torah, this lack of a gap, meaning the fact that we're continuous here, teaches us something very important, that when it comes to the Torah, it's not just separate parts of our life. It's that there's no interruption. There's no separation from the Torah to any area of our life. Right? The Torah has halachos of how we conduct ourselves, not just in the synagogue and about spirituality and davening, every area of our life. You know, whether it be business, whether it be our personal conduct, whether it be how we get dressed, how we speak, every facet of human behavior is incorporated in the Torah. And the idea is that us as human beings is that our job on this earth is to get to that point where there's no separation, that our every action that we do is all focused to the service of Hashem. And if we take this back to the last letter and the first letter of the Torah, it spells the word lev. Lev is heart. And we know without a heart, we're not alive. That the Torah is our heart. Even for a moment, if a person's heart's beating for a few minutes, he's dead. He's gone. It's so integral to our existence that it has to be continuous, right? The heart doesn't take a break. It always works all the time. It's something which is an integral part of us. And it's this idea that the heart of our Judaism is the Torah. It's not a history book. It's not something on the side that we learn to prepare for our bar mitzvah. It's something which is the heart of our religion. It's the center of it. And if we don't have that connection to it, we don't have a connection really at all, because that is our connection. What brings us together as a people and what binds us to Hashem is not gefilte fish. It is not raisin challah, which we've been eating the whole yontif. It's the Torah. And that's the significance of lev, the Torah ending with a lamed and starting off with a beis. That teaches us this idea that there's no separation. The Torah is infinite. It's continuous. And just like the heart is like that, so to us. And he brings down here, to take it a step further, that when we learn Torah, it brings into us a sense of godliness. We become like Hashem, in a sense. We become godly. We become more spiritual people. And this idea, we see this from Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is referred to as Ish HaElokim, a man of God. And the idea here is that even though there will never be a person like Moshe Rabbeinu again, that to have that quality, that level of prophecy like Moshe, there will never be. But we do have the ability to be like Moshe Rabbeinu, to be like Moshe, that we can fulfill our potential to be godly, to incorporate the ideals of the Torah into all the aspects of our life, to make us into holier, more godly people. And that's one idea that connects the last letter of the Torah back to the beginning. And now for one thought on the first parsha, Parshas Bereishis. The first pasuk of the Torah starts off as follows. Bereishis bara Elokim es ha-shamayim ve-es ha-aretz. In the beginning of God's creating the heavens and the earth, va-aretz ha-isa soyu va-voyu va-choshech al-pnei ha-tohoim v'ruach Elokim mirachefes al-pnei ha-moyim. When the earth was astonishingly empty, with darkness upon the surface of the deep, and the divine presence hovered upon the surface of the waters. Vayomer Elohim, yihi or, vayihi or. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. Now, there's so much to talk about in Parshas Bereishis. We could probably do years of podcasts, and God willing we will do over the coming years, but we could do week after week after week just on Bereishis. So much here, it's so deep. We only have one episode a year to focus on it. Maybe we should start the Bereishis podcast. But either way, the Parsha starts off that Hashem created the world. And in the beginning, there was just darkness. Choshech. Until God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now, the Chafetz Chaim brings down a very powerful lesson from these verses, and a very simple lesson for us to maybe tap into. You know, there's so much depth here again, but just sometimes it's just the simplicity of the verses that we could just take out such powerful ideas. We know the earth was totally dark. There was nothing there. Nothingness. We can't even picture nothingness. And all of a sudden, Hashem says, let there be light. And there's light. The world is bright. It's all lit up. And the lesson that the Chafetz Chaim brings down that I think we can take out such a powerful idea is that we all have times in our lives, whether it be on a personal level, on a communal level, on a national level, you know, the whole Jewish nation, where things seem just dark. Seems like everything's coming to an end. It seems like there's no way out. Seems like there's no path forward. Where do we turn? What do we do? You know, obviously we try to do our part. We have to do our part. We have to daven. We have to learn. But it's very important to remember Vayihi-or, that God could create light in a moment. Just like he did during the beginning of the world's creation, he brought light into the world. So too, with any situation, we have to have the emunah, we have to have the belief, the faith, we have to know, we have to remember that the situation could change around in a moment's notice. And how many times have we ourselves experienced this? You know, we go through those hard moments, but if we think about it, there's been tons of moments where things have just changed around. The trajectory of our lives, of a situation, just on a moment, everything is flipped around and God takes care of everything, saving the day. And it's very important for us to internalize this. You know, when we think about Hashem being in charge of the world, he created the world and he's in charge of the world. We also have the ability to have that salvation in a moment's notice, that God could just create light and change the situation around. And just like that has happened in the past, we have to know that it can happen and will happen, God willing, in the future. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast, this double whammy with a connection in between. I hope everybody has a beautiful rest of your Yontif, a Chag Sameach. And I look forward, God willing, to sharing many beautiful ideas together with you this coming year, God willing. And again, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or just would like to say hello, please send me an email, Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN, @gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you.